Today, friends, we are continuing with our life of holiness, the life of purity. Believers are called to live a holy life. Paul has been dealing with this theme starting from chapter 4, verses 1. And this theme runs through and ends at chapter 6, verses 9. If we recall well the first division of this epistle, Ephesians chapter 1 to chapter 3, Paul affirms the blessedness of Ephesians believers. Paul tells them that in Christ they are eternally secured, and nothing could take them out of God's dominion or rule. He rules in their hearts forever through His Spirit. As he concludes affirming their assurance in chapter 3, verses 12 to 13, he encourages them to come to God with full confidence in verses 12. Because they belong to God. And in verses 13, if we recall well, he appeals to them not to be shaken by his suffering. In other words, chapters 1 to 3 calls believers to stand firm in their faith at all times, trusting Christ daily so that they may stand in their solid ground. Then in Ephesians 4, 1 to 6, the second division of the epistles of Ephesians, Paul explores the second manner on how believers are to stand. Believers are not only called to stand through their faith only. They are also called now to stand firm in their Christian life by their work, which the life of holiness is the outworking of our faith. Genuine faith in our Lord Jesus Christ results in good works. So Paul urges believers in Ephesus not to stand on creeds and confessions, but to live out their faith so that they may stand on both legs, faith and the outworking of faith, so that they may display good works. Paul has exhausted many themes on the purity of believers. Now, in these verses, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 to 14, we are at the highest point of believers' outworking of their faith, which is demonstrated by their new lifestyle. And our theme for today is, Christians are bearers of God's own heart. Please keep your Bibles open so that we may see together how does Paul explain this. Genuine and permanent residents of Christ or God's kingdom are called to display God's own heart, willingly or by virtue of circumstances that they find themselves in them. This is their heavenly responsibility and the translation of their faith and knowledge. Yet the question is, how often do we stand up to that Christian responsibility? Verses 1 to 7 tells us that we are to be like God. We are called to emulate God's own heart. These verses demonstrate for us two ways how we can be like God. Believers are, in other words, called to walk as God walks. If we are really belonging to Him, there should be similarities in the way we do things and in the way we talk and in the way how we relate to one another. We need to show a change of life. 1 verses 1 to 2, we need to display God's own loving heart. Verses 1 to 2 calls all believers to demonstrate God's own heart by loving in a manner that is not self-seeking. By demonstrating what Jesus Christ did, he gave himself for our sins. He was not looking to gain anything when he goes to the cross. So we as believers were as well called to love sacrificially. There is a tendency within us that even I as a parent, when I have to give love to my children, then I had to lay a rules that if you do this and this, then I will demonstrate love to you. Verses 2 demonstrate for us that Jesus Christ didn't only mediate our fellowship with God, but he as well mediated the pattern of life, that the way we are called, we also need to love others in that same fashion. Christ rejected his own life and allowed himself to suffer many things so that he can mediate our salvation. And his self-denial was approved by God, because he didn't give himself in order that he may be glorified, but he was doing it for the glory of God the Father. So even for us, we are called as believers to love without expecting any returns afterwards. So here Paul, he is given an instruction. So imitate God. So be like him. Follow him. So here friends, if we look at how Paul is giving this, he gives this instruction after he has spoken many things about Christian life. In the previous verses, he told them that you know the truth, that the truth is in only one person in Christ. So which means our model of love should not be our own hearts and minds. We should always look to him and see how dearly he loved us, that he even gave all that was belonging to him in heaven and came and be like us. So it is for us, we need to deny ourselves and love other people. Paul himself is a model of love in these verses, or in the book of Ephesians. Always when he's talking about himself, he's saying in chapter 3, verses 13, do not be weakened by my suffering, which means let my suffering not take your faith away from you. Because my suffering, it is for your glory. If we remember, friends, in chapters 1, Paul is saying repeatedly that the reason why God chose us from the beginning, even before the world was created, it is unto his glory. It is not unto us. Then here now, he's developing that idea that if we are to please God, we are to love other people selflessly, not expecting any gain, but just doing it for the glory of God. That is what believers, we are called to do. As Paul was writing this letter, he's telling many times that I am suffering for your own good, for your own sake, that I'm in prison for the Lord. He's in chapter 6, he's been saying that in 6:22, that I want you to know how am I living. So which means that our life, friends, has to model a life of sacrificial love, not love other people in order to gain anything, or in order for us to be applauded, or in order for us to be known as the supermans, or in order for us to be known as the better people. But we are called to love one another because God so loved us dearly, and that he gave his son as a ransom so that we become his children. Then in verses 3 to 4, Paul now moves away from sacrificial love. And now he's directing us now to love that is Godward, by saying, then now, lead a life of perfect holiness. Good friends, to be separated in this world and live as children of God, it is not a matter of option. We are not called to choose whether we would like to please God or to live a holy life. But it is our Christian responsibility to live as distinct as we could. If we look unto this theme again, Paul has spoken about it in the previous chapter. He says in chapter 4, verses 1, therefore live a life that is worthy of your calling, the calling that God has called you to. Then in verses 17 now, he's making a direct now command that now because you know where you are coming from, you were unbelievers, you were pagans. Therefore now, no longer live as pagans. Now in these verses, as he developed that theme now, he's saying to us now, how could we live a holy life? In verses 3a, he says that not even a trace of ungodliness should be mentioned within yourselves. So which means now, he's not saying, let us avoid to live in a way that is not holy. But he says, let not even a trace of sexual immorality be mentioned amongst you. And he mentioned three things: sexual immorality, impurity, and greediness. If you see in these things, there's nothing that can make us to compromise a holy living. One, sexual immorality, it can be the thinking in our minds. Then when he says all impurity, he's saying in general, anything that we know that it is contrast to God's way of living, we should do away with it. What does that tell us? It tells us, friends, the life of holiness is very imperative for believers. Sometimes you'll hear people, they're saying that, how could I live like an angel here on this earth? There, friends, really, it means that we don't trust the spirit that God gave us. Because within every believer, when he believes in Christ, instantly, the spirit of God lives in that person so that the life of holiness should be possible. The life of holiness should be possible. So then we must do away with all immorality. He's talking here about things like fornication, sex before marriage. Friends, if we will allow us to say, because the world says to us, you cannot live like an angel, and then we say, oh, let's not be soft to our kids or to our brethren. Friends, we are missing the point. Fornication is sin. Another sin that is mentioning here of sexual related, it's sex outside the marriage, which now the world is embracing because it says you can marry as many wives as you want. But in the New Testament, Paul gives one principle that a godly man has to be a man who's having one wife. So it is with a godly wife. He has to only marry to one husband. One husband. So when we come to Christ, all the things that we used to do that are related with sexual immorality, we have to do away with them. Then one other thing which he mentions, which we cannot see, which is in our hearts, is greediness. Greediness, friends, it's to be discontent with your situation that we're in. And it is very terrible because all the other things, they start within us from our hearts when we become discontent with the situation that God has put us through. Then here Paul is warning us that, friends, please stay away from greediness. You may find in these days, friends, because there is that notion or that idea that we need to be prosperous Christians. You find other people, they go to work and they are married. It's a good thing to go to work. But after working hours, mothers, they go and do other businesses. They forsake their role of looking after their kids. And the husband, they say, it's fine. You may go there because you are bringing something on the table. But they are leaving their responsibility of looking after their kids, which means that they are not content with the money they are getting from work. So this on its own, friend, if you can think at it hardly, it is greediness. How could a person forsake the God-given mandate of looking after kids? Or else even a husband go as far as say, I will look after kids. Go, friend, and make us to be prosperous. Make us to be rich. Yes, it is not a bad thing if you are comfortable with this. But can you think for a moment, what does it does to the relationship at home? Both to husband and wives. Even to kids. So friends, greediness is one thing which we need to be warned about it. Here Paul is saying, friends, let not even there be a trace of sexual immorality. He's speaking, Paul, here, the language of God, which God spoke to his own children after saving them from Egypt. God said in Leviticus 19:2, you shall be holy because I, God, I am holy. So which means, friends, holiness is not something for a person would choose to be. It is mandatory to us as believers. We are to live the lives that are free from all ungodliness. So under the rule of Christ, it is proper for believers to live a holy life. That is what he's saying in verses 3b. He says, as it is proper amongst the saints. So which means the normal life of Christians, it's a life of holiness. It's a life of being separated or being different from the world. Then in verses 4, he goes further and says, even with your talk, do not spend time making jokes, giving the meaningless words of amusement. He's not saying it's bad for Christians to joke, but he's saying you rather give the words of thankfulness to God for your salvation, other than amusing each other and giving ridicule about each other. So here, friends, also with our words, we need to speak the words that we know when we speak those words, they are magnifying our God. And they are as well leading many to righteousness. Friends, Jesus Christ once warned his disciples that with every word that you speak, you are going to account for it. So let us not be careless in how we use our language. Then in verses 5 and 7, Paul is giving a finally here, a warning. Be alert of disqualifications. So here, friends, it's one thing which we need to grasp. He's saying in these verses, if you listen carefully with me, for of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Verses 6, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, in verses 7, do not be partners with them. Friends, this is a warning. If you are not conforming to the holiness of God, if you are not loving as you are called to love others selflessly, and if you do not live a holy life, then surely you do not belong to God. As good works are comparison among us, it's not an option. So here, friends, when we look to the world where everybody else is professing to be a believer, but when you look to their, how they conduct themselves, how they live their lives, then you start asking yourself, what kind of a church is this?
then you'll start, if you look at this verse, and know that those who cannot obey God, they do not belong to Him. They don't have His Spirit. So, friend, this is pushing us to move away from ignorance, away from complacency, and as well to move away from continuing living the lives that are similar to the life that we used to live before we were saved. Here, when Paul was speaking in this chapter, he was speaking to an Ephesian church that was having two group of people. One people was Jews and Gentiles. What was the problem of Jews? If you notice here in this verse, he's saying you don't have inheritance in Christ's dominion as well in God's dominion. He's using these two things intentionally. Why Jews were idolaters? Because they worship their temple. They worship their law. They worship even their nation. So he wanted them now to know that if you will only believe to God, whom you were taught about from childhood, but denying Christ, then surely you don't belong to God. Then as to Gentiles, while he's as well mentioning Christ and God, for them both things are new to them. They used to worship idols. So then now he's saying to them, please people now, if you want to approve your residence in heaven, let your work show that you know Christ as well as God. So friends, this is a warning even for us. We need friends, more special us as evangelicals. Evangelicals, they rely much in confessions and creeds. They even become skeptical of their own theology. Why I'm saying this? As evangelicals, we are skeptical to go beyond faith alone. We are skeptical to go beyond Christ alone. We are skeptical to go beyond the sola five alones of Reformation. That we are only saved by grace alone, through Christ alone, through faith alone, through Scripture alone, to the glory of God alone. But we are skeptic now to exercise good works. God, friends, has called us to exhibit good works. And one mark of good works, it's love. Then the second one is to walk as God walk. Those solar friends were only master keys to open a correct biblical interpretation. So friends, if we are not going to show love, and we are not ready to live pure lives, then at the end, Christ will deny us. But if we are ready to go with Him, in verses 8 to 14, Paul is saying now, we need to be the shining stars, which means now, we need now to walk in a way that demonstrates our glorious living. We need to expose our character. What is it to be a shining star? He says, as now you have become the children of light, so walk as the children of light. Don't walk as the children of darkness. Verses 8 to 10, he's saying, display your new way of living. That we are called, friends, to display a new way of life. Friends, it is often easy for us to notice a person who was not employed for quite some time. But when he gets employment, one, his lifestyle will change. One, the way he wears will change. One, the way he spends time with the family will change. So it is with us. As we grow in his likeness, altogether there has to be a drastic change. He calls us to display a new birth. Because we are born again in Christ. So now our lives has as well to testify unto that. He's mentioning three things that we need to look at verses 9. That one, we need to show goodness. If you remember, friends, Jesus Christ once said to his, during his time, that there is no one who's good except God. But when, friends, we are in Christ, we will start becoming good. Secondly, we need to show righteousness, which is an ability of our hearts to discern in a godly manner at all things, so that we have a sound judgment at all times. Last thing, the truth has to be seen in us. As he was telling them in verses 25 to 32 of chapter 4, that now you need to leave all falsehood and live as righteous people. Then here now, he is saying, if you are ready to walk a walk with him, then please show it by demonstrating that now you are a new being. Verses 11 and 13. He's saying then, if we start to bear the fruits of righteousness, then we'll be effective and influential. So which means, friends, we are called to dispose darkness. We are not called to partner with those who are still in darkness. This calls us, friends, that where we should begin within our own families. We should begin within our proximities to show that we are now the changed people who are living a new life. And when believers live the lives that approves their belonging, then they will be effective and influential in the world. In a sense that those who are still living in darkness will notice their great change. How many people who once came to you after you have been saved and say, you know, we admire your life. So here Paul is saying that if we are really serious about God's business and we reflect the life of Christ, then people will come to us and admire our own living. So in this sense, he's not pushing us to be witnesses only by speech. He's saying we need to be witnesses of the gospel by living out the gospel. Lastly, friends, we are called in verses 14 to reflect his glory. Here it's a final appeal to Paul. He's saying, because we are resurrected, then we need to demonstrate in the world that we are no longer dead in our sins, but in Christ now, we are alive. So friends, let's display love and display how holiness should be a standard of all the world. Here, as I close, it's a story that I want to narrate to you. Or I want to ask a question to you. When a loving new grandmother shows you a picture of a son, the newborn baby, saying to you, he's an image of his father, how would you react? Here it's a son, and he's saying to you, it's an image of his father. It will depend on how well and how well you know the father, the father's baby. If you do not know the father's baby, then you will just ignore. But if he would show you a picture of the father and the son, you will start now looking at their similarities. And it will be much better if he goes further and maybe give you some time to watch the son and the father as they grow, so that you may even now be at a point to see their internal appearance, their habits, their likes and all that, their personality. Once you see their personality, then you will start recognizing and say, really, really, this newborn baby was a son to the father. Why? Because now we have started to see some traits that are reflecting from the father and to the son. So which means now you've got the original picture of them. So friends, it is also like that with us. It is also like that with us. We need, as we worship God, as we grow in Him. So when people, they look at us, without even speaking a word, people, they need to say, oh, in that man or in that woman, I see some features that really are testifying to who he is. So if, friends, our lives, they are reflecting God's own heart, then, friends, we'll be putting a smile on God's face. We are called, friends, to put a smile on God's face, not only at one point, but day by day, we are called to manifest that we are really the children of God. And if we do that, God will be pleased with us, and he will prosper us day by day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that, and Father, you chose us from the beginning of the earth to demonstrate in the unbelieving world that there is a living God, God who can change those who are in darkness and brings them to light. Help us, and Father, in our witnessing, that we may be firm in our life of holiness. Shape our hearts, and Father, to move away from our old self, and make us to love even those whom, Heavenly Father, is very difficult to love. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior. Amen.